Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
From the outside, the Pierces seemed like any other suburban family.
It was just a normal house. It really was. Everyone says the same thing.
Nearly 24 years on, neighbours still remember awaking to the blaze around 7 o'clock that morning.
My lad picked up a boulder and threw it through the window to think we could get in, but the heat was so intense, it was just no way.
What was found inside the house was horrific.
It has been a good minute since I've covered an international crime mystery. Following my recent trend of unsolved family murders, Day's story is no different. Australia is a place widely known for its seemingly uninhabitable landscape, with poisonous bugs, venomous snakes, and angry crocodiles. It is safe to say trekking across this landscape can be quite the task. Of course, over the years human beings have created settlements and a sense of safety from those boogeymen of the night. But, as I often mention in these documentaries, monsters can lurk in plain sight. Sometimes they can take the form of loved ones. A while back, I covered Australia's infamous Mr. Cruel case, which, even until this day, is my longest, most in-depth production I have ever made. I would highly recommend you guys check it out after this one. The boogeyman can be anyone among us, at any time, and we could never know. This case, unlike Mr. Cruel, has a suspect, and he is currently on the run. Today, we're going to be taking a look at the odd, tragic, and downright disturbing story of the Pierce family murders. Before I get into the sad and disturbing details of this crime, I would like to take just a few moments to share a few details about the Pierce family. I couldn't find too much about them or how their lives were, but I can at the very least introduce you to the family members. The Pierce family consisted of father Stuart Pierce, mother Meredith Pierce, and their four children: Adam, who was 11, Travis, who was 9, Carrie, who was 2, and Matthew, who was 8 at the time. The family lived in Adelaide, which is located in South Australia. The family seemed happy from the outside looking in, but they did have their fair share of troubles. I will touch on these troubles later. Now that we have an idea of who we are talking about, let's get into the story. It was January 6th, 1991, bright and early at 7:17 a.m. Firefighters had been dispatched to a home that was on fire on Jackson Street in the Parafield Garden suburb located in Adelaide. When responders got to the home, they had found out that it belonged to the Pierce family, and the home was engulfed in flames. Inside the home, responders found an absolutely grisly scene that none of them will ever forget, I'm sure. Meredith Pierce was in her bedroom tied and bound to a chair with a rag stuffed in her mouth. She was strangled with some kind of electrical cord. Three of the four children were found suffocated with plastic bags over their heads. The Pierce's fourth child, Matthew, was staying at a friend's house for the night. This may have unknowingly saved his life. It was quickly determined that the family had been killed before the fire was set. There was one other member of the family missing, though. Stuart Pierce was nowhere to be found. This, of course, was a massive red flag for several reasons. This could be a sign of a targeted attack or kidnapping. Maybe this could point to Stuart himself as the culprit. Or maybe something else entirely happened. Stewart at the time was working the night shift at a BP gas station just a 15-minute drive away from his home. Stewart's shift began the previous night at around 9 p.m. and ended that morning at 6:50 a.m. That means, 27 minutes before the fire was reported, Stewart was off from work, and it only takes him 15 minutes on average to get home. So, he should have been home before the fire was reported. Let's keep this in our minds as we continue forward. Stewart drove a 240K Datsun Coupe, which, from what I can find, looks to be a pretty distinctive car. Stewart's car was found later that day abandoned at the Kilkenny Shopping Center. No one has apparently ever seen or heard from Stewart ever since. Or so he would like you to think, that is. This is when, of course, Stewart became suspect number one in the investigation. Stewart Pierce had been cited many times, much of which cannot be confirmed, but there are in fact a few solid confirmed sightings of him. It is believed by officials that friends or family have given Stewart shelter from the police in the southeast area of Australia. In 1991, there were quite a few sightings of Stewart Pierce in his hometown of Mount Gambier. He was attempting to hide out in the area, but was recognized by several locals. The most recent confirmed sighting was back in 1997 in the area of Melbourne at the Knox Shopping Center. Now, this leaves us with not much to go on. Nearly an entire family has been slaughtered and their home burnt down to the ground with seemingly no motive. I dug around a bit and I was able to potentially find some solid reasons why Stewart Pierce decided to kill his family, burn his house down, and abandon his life for a new one. Sergeant Bob Sharp, one of the officials in charge of this investigation, confirmed that the sightings in Mount Gambier did have credence to them, though they didn't lead officials to locating Stewart Pierce. After investigating into Stewart's background, officials found that he was in dire financial trouble. His best friend, Gary Austin, had also recently committed suicide, which is thought to have taken a toll on him. Even more interesting, somewhere around 25 marijuana plants were found in an underground bunker under his home. It is unclear if the family was aware of this or not, but it would be hard not to be, I would assume. This discovery led investigators to question if a drug-related issue had come up. Did someone come to the house looking for money or drugs? And when they were denied, they decided to send a message with violent means, perhaps? This is possible, but no evidence of anyone else being involved other than Stewart Pierce has ever been found. Officials speculate that Stewart could have killed the family before he left for work and stopped by the house shortly to set it on fire after work. This could be plausible if officials didn't conduct a thorough enough autopsy. There is some evidence that would refute this entire scenario, though. Meredith's sister claimed to have spoken to her around 8 p.m. that night, about an hour before Stewart would have left for work, and claims everything was fine. An hour would be enough time to kill his family, though, depending on how long that phone call lasted. Now, I don't want this to seem like a hit piece on Stewart Pierce. There is potential evidence that could show his innocence as well. While I was searching for theories and potential answers to why this crime was committed, I found a few interesting posts on the Unresolved Mysteries Reddit that brought up some good points. A user by the name of KittyCatB brings up the point that 27 minutes would be a really short amount of time to drive home, kill four people, set the house on fire, and then escape without being seen by a single person. Now, to be fair, this could 100% be the case here. It wouldn't be impossible for Stewart to have carried this out with no one noticing. I do agree, 27 minutes does not seem like enough time to do so much damage. This user also brings up a big hole in the investigation. There is no evidence presented that really shows Stewart ever went home after he left work. Could this point in a direction other than Stewart? Maybe, maybe not. The possibility that Stuart Pierce could be a victim himself has popped up numerous times. There seems to be a lot of unanswered questions that could show someone else was involved. The only surviving child, Matthew, has gone on record to say he does not believe his father had anything to do with the crime. He strongly believes his father was killed and his mother was targeted for information about him. I should also state Matthew has been in and out of trouble with the law and has been heavily affected mentally by this whole situation. He has racked up a resume of charges such as burglary, drugs, and firearms, among other various things. Matthew claims he has had no contact with his dad since this crime, and his life has been undoubtedly changed from being orphaned by this gruesome turn of events. A $1 million reward has been offered for any information that will lead to the arrest of Stuart Pierce. Despite this reward, though, no one has ever come forward with information about Stuart. It has been nearly 30 years since this horrific crime was committed, and we have yet to find any solid answers. Sergeant Bob Sharp went on record to say, "It would be very difficult for someone to live off the grid for this length of time. We have his fingerprints, plus a DNA profile, and he's the subject of an Interpol red notice, but he hasn't come to our attention." He would go on to mention, "My feelings is that he's committed this terrible act, tried to shift the blame onto someone else by deliberately dumping his car in a particular location. But when that hasn't worked, he's taken his own life, and we just haven't found his body yet." This is where the story ends, for now. What truly happened here? Was this the work of a deranged father gone mad? Was this a cartel hit over drugs or money? While many of these cases I have covered have strange and odd details surrounding them, this one is easily one of the most brutal and confusing of the bunch. With everything presented to us in this case, it is hard to say Stuart Pierce did not have anything to do with this, but it's just as hard to say that he did.
What was found inside the house was horrific. Pierce's 31-year-old wife, Meredith, had been tied to a chair with a towel shoved inside her mouth. Three of his children had all been suffocated with plastic bags which had been placed over their heads. All four of them had already died before petrol was used to set the house on fire.
Police last month released these images showing what a now 56-year-old Pierce may look like. It prompted more than 20 calls to Crime Stoppers from people who believe they'd recently seen the fugitive.
Country areas of South Australia, metropolitan South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland. We're working through each and every one of those sightings.
Police continuing to speak with those close to the case, including Pierce's surviving son, Matthew. He has lived a troubled life since the murder, which happened while he was at a friend's house.
We just would encourage anybody that has seen the likeness of the person of Stuart Pierce to contact Crime Stoppers. We'll follow up whatever they provide.
Thanks for listening to this creepy mini-documentary on the Pierce family murders. If you enjoyed this story, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. And the more fresh eyes we can get on this story, the better. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you listen to podcasts. I would love to know your thoughts on this case. What do you think happened? Did Stuart Pierce do this? Or did something else more nefarious go down? I would love to know down below. If you have a scary story or a case that you would like me to check out, be sure to submit those to me at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to see what you have. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting me the way you do. I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.